It's time to get your sports weekend rolling. You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff, the best way to start your sports weekend. Now, here's Dave Benton.
What's up? Welcome in. Weekend kickoff 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Become a fan of the show on Facebook, 1320 WILS Weekend Kickoff, and then you can also follow us on Twitter, WILS Weekend Kick. Dave Benton here with my co-host and producer, as always, Scott Eckersley. Got a good show planned for you today. A lot going on this week in sports. A lot going on that we weren't sure as the week started that we would have a lot to talk about outside the draft, but things shaped up. Tigers are playing pretty well. Red Wings into the second round easily, so we'll talk about both that. We'll also talk about, of course, Michigan State's hiring of Dane Fife as the new assistant coach at Michigan State. Scott and I will give you our perspective, and we'll also get Jim Comperoni from Spartan Mag's perspective at 10:30 about that, and we will be talking plenty of NFL draft. Detroit Free Press's Dave Burkett will be with us at 10 o'clock to let us know where the Lions stand as we are about 5.5 days away from the NFL draft, and that's where we start today, and that's where we're going to be covering most of the first hour, because I love the NFL draft. I know that we make fun of ESPN for starting to cover it in January, but at the same time, the NFL draft really is one of my favorite moments of the year. What other event besides the presidential election day, okay? Other than that, what other event can have absolutely nothing going on for 14 hours worth of television besides roundtable talk about complete speculation? And then every 15 minutes, there's some sort of information that's worth seeing, yet everybody around the country circles around televisions to watch what's going on. If you watch the NFL draft, it's mass chaos. It's just stretching for things to talk about, yet we watch it. And I love it. I love watching Chris Berman have excellent things to say during round one and then struggling for things to say during round two. I love how he hands over the most difficult part of the draft to Susie Culber, which is rounds 3 through 7. How you come up with stuff to talk about for two straight days, for that, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure Susie Culber deserves a medal for that, but I love watching it. I watch rounds 1 through 7 every single pick. Now, most of the time, it's because Central Michigan has players that could get drafted. They're just going to get drafted late, so I like to see where my chips are going. But even so, I love watching every team draft. I love watching the New England Patriots every single year. Every single year, year after year, get the most quality player value-wise at their draft picks. Every year I watch, and every time the Patriots pick a player, I just say, man, the rich keep getting richer and richer, and I love that about it. And most of all, I love watching the Detroit Lions during the NFL draft. And it used to be for a different reason. This year it's a little bit different. But before, I was a Detroit Lion fan, and I would consider myself a pretty big Lions fan now. I wasn't at first because I didn't come from here. So I'm not going to sit here and claim I'm a diehard Lions fan. But I sat through some pretty tough years, and I embraced the Lions the way everybody else has. And watching the Lions draft year after year after year was just so disheartening, especially when you're on the outside looking in. You can't even imagine what it's like to be a Lions fan and to watch just year after year your team throw away any picks. Okay, no team in the history of pro sports has spent this many drafts making their team worse than the Detroit Lions. Even the Cardinals and the Bengals have improved their teams through the NFL draft. The Indianapolis Colts used to be terrible. They're now a good team because of the NFL draft. The New England Patriots had some horrible years. They're great because of the NFL draft. Only the Detroit Lions have had more opportunities to make their team good in this free agent salary cap era of football where it's meant for everybody to be balanced. It's meant to give everybody a chance over the years. Only the Detroit Lions have found a way to make sure that they are not relevant in this league. But this year is different. And that's why I'm looking forward to this draft so much. For the first time in about 15 years, I feel like, the Detroit Lions are at a point in the NFL draft where they have built their base now, and we are getting the guys to push this team to the next level. For 15 years, it's been find your base guys. Well, they've got that now. They've got DeAndre Levy. They've got Lewis Delmas. They've got Matthew Stafford, we think. They've got Calvin Johnson. They've got Ndamukong Suh. They have a base, a nucleus to work around, and also some free agents. So for the first time in I don't even know how long, the Detroit Lions are drafting to improve an already pretty good team. They're drafting to take themselves to the next level. And I think they're at a pretty favorable spot to take themselves to the next level. 13 is pretty favorable. Because once you get to around 12, 13, now you're taking the best player on the board. You're not at 5, you're not at 2 where you've got to take a quarterback because that's what you need or anything like that. No, you're looking at the best player available and you're taking that guy. And at 13, it's still players that immediately can give you some results. And I think the Detroit Lions are in a situation, and we're going to talk about whether they should trade down, trade up, all that kind of stuff. But I think the Detroit Lions are in a situation where they could draft one of 4 or 5 guys, and I would be happy with that draft pick. If they took the tackle, Anthony Costanzo from Boston College, I'm very happy with that pick. 4-year starter, Boston College has played both right and left tackle, would protect Matthew Stafford. Great pick. He's NFL ready right now. How about Tyron Smith, the tackle from USC? If he falls to them at 13, he's a little bit raw, but he's also young and has all the tools to become a very good offensive lineman for the next 10-plus years. Daquan Bowers, a defensive end out of Clemson, who up until we heard about his knee injury, was possibly the top player in this draft. Possibly was going to go number one to Carolina. Now, is it a risk to get an injured player? Yes. But at 13, and at the Lions' position that they are at right now, I think Daquan Bowers is in a position to help them right away. Because Cliff Avril has become a good defensive end, and because Van den Bosch is there, and because Williams and Suh are there, they can use Bowers in less snaps, which avoids him getting injured, but it also gives them that pass rush. Okay, because the Lions do need a defensive end, but they... I like Kerrigan, I like J.J. Watt, I think they're good defense ends, but they're not the defensive end the Lions need. The Lions need an edge rusher. The Lions need a guy who's going to push a guy, a quarterback, back into the pocket where we want him to go, which is where Ndamukong Suh is. That's what the Lions need. So if Daquan Bowers falls to 13, like they're projecting it is, I think that's a risk worth taking. I also think a guy that might be falling that far that they could take, and the dreaded wide receiver position is scary. But if Julio Jones falls to 13, I even wouldn't be upset with that pick. Would I pick him? No. But if Julio Jones, just ask Michigan State's defensive backs, just ask Auburn's defensive backs, if Julio Jones falls to that spot, you're getting a blocking wide receiver, you're getting a wide receiver that runs good routes, and you're getting a receiver that's going to take attention off of Calvin Johnson and allow Nate Burleson to go back into the slot where he works best. So the Lions could go a bunch of different ways, Scott, and I would be happy with any of those picks and even a couple of other guys because 13 is a favorable position.
You nailed it. Rarely. I'll give you credit. Because what you mentioned, they can draft. It's not a need-based draft right now. Yeah, they do need some help at the linebackers, but that's not where it's they have to have a quarterback. You have to pick a quarterback. You have to take Matthew Stafford number one. You have to do this. In 13, I mean, we'll talk about it next segment, yeah. But it is the right spot for them to be able to do that, to finally take the best player on the board.
They're not going to get pressured into taking a guy like Von Miller because he's going to be off the board, which, by the way, although I like Von Miller, I don't think he fits the Lions system. He's a 3-4 guy. They need a 4-3 edge rusher, and I don't think he fits that system. So although they need an outside linebacker, they need an outside linebacker that can cover pass as well. And you're not going to get that out of Von Miller like you might get out of someone else. And all the other outside linebackers, 13's too high to take them. So you don't feel that pressure to go and grab an outside linebacker, even though cornerback and outside linebacker are their biggest needs. The other thing is that the two best cornerbacks, the only two guys that you could take at 13 and it wouldn't be a stretch, are probably not going to be there. Amukamara and Patrick Peterson are probably not going to be there at that point, so you don't have pressure. Now, if they're there, obviously a cornerback's the number one need, in my opinion. But I don't think that either one is going to be there.
I would be shocked and thrilled if either one were there. But yeah, in the thing is, the Lions could get into a situation. I mean, because we were talking about it, and I would say what there's maybe 10 to 15 guys where you're confident saying,
yes,
you can take them, and that's not a reach, that's not a stretch. But if they're saying, we have to get this position in, then say they say, first round, we're taking a corner no matter what, and Amukamara and Peterson are gone.
Yeah.
If they then reach for one there, they don't draft or trade down, that's the problem that they could get into. But they're in the position they don't have to.
Correct, because they need a tackle. Not that I don't like Jeff Backus.
Not that
I don't like his holding penalties and false starts.
That's what I don't know. Okay, so we know the back seven is the worst part of the Lions.
Agreed.
Except for Jeff Backus, right?
Yeah,
that's what gets lost.
The argument that I've been making, that I think we both have been making for a couple of years now, is Jeff Backus is useless. He's been useless since he stepped onto an NFL field.
Well, he's arguably the reason Matthew Stafford always gets hurt.
Well, Jeff Backus, more than just getting beaten during the play, Jeff Backus constantly gets called for holding, and he constantly has false starts. Constantly. Him and Dominic Raiola, who is snapping the ball, gets more false starts than any offensive lineman anywhere in the league. I think we should look that up because I'm pretty sure they do.
Raiola just doesn't know that you're not allowed to pump fake in the NFL as a center.
He's snapping the ball. How do you not know that you're going? I don't get it. I just don't get that. So they could go offensive line. I think there is still room on that defensive line that they could get some depth. Even if they went and picked a Nick Fairley or something like that, if he were to fall to them, I don't think that's a terrible move to make your defensive line the premier defensive line in the NFL.
We talked about this just a little while ago, and yeah, it brings that fear factor. So yes, the D-line was really scary this year for the Lions. If they do add Daquan Bowers, who you can just say, okay, you know, you're a rookie, you're learning the system, we're going to put you in on third down because we have enough faith in the defense to make it a third and long where they're passing, and you say, go get them. That would be so scary for teams to face that front four when you do have the depth that they have, where you can just rotate guys in for that.
A strong defensive lineman will do just as much for this team as a strong outside linebacker. Because part of the problem is the safeties have to help in coverage and they have to help in run defense. They can't do both every single play. They just can't. And so if you have a strong defensive line that can both stop the run and pass rush, well, now the safeties don't have to creep up to help out on the run, and they can stay back and help those linebackers cover the pass.
As much as I love Lewis Delmas, he's not a Troy Polamalu, but he tries to be. He creeps up into the box a lot. The Steelers have the defense where they can put just three guys out in pass protect or pass coverage and use him wherever they want. And that's the thing where, and not just helping the linebackers, but the corners, when you only have to cover for 2 seconds, not even, and you've got the quarterback already moving, that makes everybody's job so much easier.
We're going to be talking a lot of draft today. In fact, we want to hear your ideas. What do you want the Lions to take, or what strategy do you want the Lions to have? Trade up, trade down, whatever you think. We want you to tell us. 393-3700, 393-3700, the number to call. Coming up next, Scott and I will tell you what we think the Detroit Lions should do with that first overall pick. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.